And a good Wednesday morning to you. I didn't know what day it was here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. I did not. I honestly went, is this Wednesday or Thursday? I didn't remember the day. How in the world?
We're
that
here
is
to pick
not
you
a,
up.
Not a good start to Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody has had a good start to their day, and they know what day it is. It is indeed hump day. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick over in East Nashville, where he's got a property tax hike. And Chase McCabe will do the same in Bellevue on the west side of town. Probably not happy about the news this morning about their property and the taxes going up in Davidson County. Marquise Munson, Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. That, too, is in Davidson County. Guys, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Darren. Hey, got to do what you got to do, man. This you're in it. This stuff going on, man. You got to figure it out somehow. So we'll do what we got to do.
Looking at the feedback this morning, obviously people are not happy.
You know, well, nobody likes goes without that. Saying. You know that's. But you know, hey, you can't. You don't have you know, a bottomless pit of funds. I mean, they got to come from somewhere, right? Our city is. You look at other cities, big cities. They got. You got to. It's the same issues, right? We're a big city. We're a growing city. I don't like it, right? No. I'm not sitting there celebrating. Hey, this is exciting, man. Hey, this is great. Did you hear?
Great news.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I understand what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't mean to start shortages. Off on a bummer note, but I did see where a lot of people were obviously commenting this morning. So I knew that was on top of a lot of people's minds that. Reside in Davidson County. So this is a good day. That's the downer. The upper, the pick-me-up, is on the Chase side of things because his boy, his heart, his boy is going to the Hall of Fame, the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be inducted into the class of 2021. There's nothing that could get Chase down today.
There really isn't. Haters on Twitter, not going to do it. Pittsburgh fans trying to chirp early in the morning. No, not going to do it. Very cool news. And Red Farmer, too. Let's mention Red Farmer because he gets into the Hall of Fame, and I think that that's long overdue. But Dale Jr. going in is pretty cool. And I think the most exciting thing for me has been reading the comments of people that are saying he gets in for being the most popular driver, and that's why he's in. Go look at the numbers overall, not just the Cup Series, because they do count that stuff. So I think it's a good day. It's well-deserved, and he now has something else in common with his dad. They're both Hall of Famers.
There is something to also what you did for your sport, period.
Sure.
And he helped grow that sport, period. And that does count for something. I mean, don't tell me it doesn't. If you helped grow your sport that means something. I mean, he was the most popular driver for how long? I mean, that means something. Whether people like that or not, I mean, I get, but, you know, there is something to growing a sport and being popular. And, yeah, you still have to be in a Hall of Fame, you still have to have results. I mean, did he have, like, Jeff Gordon and Darrell Waltrip, you know, Richard Petty-type results? No. But he won races. It's not like he didn't do anything. And, you know, and like I said, his popularity and helping grow the sport, and he continues to do that today, does count. I mean, let's not discard that.
Yeah, he won 26 races, which it is not easy to win a race, especially.
As you know.
Yeah. As
You barely can get around the track.
As I'm learning on iRacing, it is not easy to do that. And especially, and I'm not using this as an excuse by any means, but in an era where you did have to compete with a Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, some that are in the upper echelon of the sport, some of the greatest of all time. I mean, that do you have to count that too? He won two Busch Series, now the Xfinity Series championships, and he's a two-time Daytona 500 winner. So I think that all has to count, not to mention what he's done as a car owner in the Xfinity Series with development drivers and winning championships with Martin Truex Jr. and now others with Junior Motorsports. So there is a lot that goes into it, and it's more than just his last name is Earnhardt. I mean, Did he benefit from his last name being Earnhardt, not Smith? Sure he did. But, you know, I think he made his own path too. I mean, his dad made him buy his own cars when he was coming up through the ranks. I mean, he made him do it the way he did it. So I think that this, you know, when I read comments of people just saying like, oh, okay, he's Earnhardt, so of course he gets in. You have to look at the bigger picture. But people are going to hate. That's what they're going to do, and that's Twitter for you.
I'm not sure if Marquise is with us or if he's still reading over the 100-page plan for the NBA and their bubble in Orlando. So,
oh, I'm actually trying to book a flight to Orlando.
Yeah, he's
trying to get in the bubble, Dan.
He's applying to be a member of NBA security.
I'll be a ball boy. I don't care.
I'll take this category, Alex. The bubble doesn't sound so bad for 500, Alex. I mean, I got to be honest. It doesn't sound like it sucks that bad. They got some pretty cool perks.
They get advanced releases of movies, Disney movies. You know, they're going to get to see. Willie, I know you're into the Marvel movies like I am. Darren, you're not. But the Black Widow movie, they're going to get to see that before everybody else. That's pretty cool. I mean, they're trying to make this as comfortable as possible. When I was reading, you mentioned it is 100 pages long, but I went through and was reading some of the highlights of it. And, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be pretty cool.
Marquise, anything stand out to you?
The anonymous hotline.
There is that.
The snitch line.
What is that for exactly?
So basically, you can call this hotline if you see that there's a player or staff that is, you know, not following the procedures of the bubble. So it's basically a tattletale line. So if you see LeBron coughing and you want to get him out of here, you call that hotline. Call anonymously. They won't know who you are. But I know who Chris Paul is, so I know his voice. And then, yeah, you can just say, hey, LeBron's coughing. Let's get him out of the bubble, please.
Is there a curfew bubble? Can you call the snitch hotline for if someone's breaking curfew?
It is. Yep, you can do that too. I'm telling you, this is going to be – I can't wait till Woj just pops up on my TV every time someone calls that anonymous hotline for something. I can't wait.
Hmm. And how about eating and entertainment? I mean, they got some pretty – don't they have like a 24-hour chef or chefs on call 24 hours, right?
Yes, they do. And then they got a DJ. They got a VIP lounge that they can play 2K. They got barbers, masseuses, and
do they have casinos? It sounds like they're on a cruise ship. Do they have casinos?
No, that's the only thing they don't have.
Craps tables. No? Okay.
That's probably Jordan's hotel room. That's probably where all that stuff's going to go down.
So they are going to get things cranked up. Let's head over to our MLB desk. Willie Donick is standing by with his new news on MLB. Willie?
Did you see the tirade that's been circulated? I don't know exactly when he did it. I guess it was yesterday. But by Rich Eisen about
no.
the 10 days?
No, I did not.
Jeff Passan. Maybe we can find it online. I'll send it to you guys during the break, but it was amusing. He just got really frustrated. I guess Jeff Passan's latest thing is some source within the sources, within the talks, said, you know, I look for something to get done in 10 days. And Rich Eisen's like, 10 days? You know, we've been sitting here for 3 months.
It'll be almost
July.
And
you're
going
to get something done in 10 days? He just went on a rage. Like, no, get on the Zoom and get it done today. I don't want 10 days.
10 days.
Get on your Zoom and resume is what he said. But, I mean, that is ridiculous. Like, oh, yeah, 10 days from now. Yeah, come on, man.
Well, first of all, how do you know 10 days? Why is the magic number 10 days?
That's right up there with Rob Manfred saying, oh, yeah, it's 100%. We're going to play. Oh, I can't give you 100%. I'm not confident now. I mean, it's just whatever.
That prediction is like saying that we'll have a vaccine fill in the blank date, right? I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone beyond absurdity, the whole thing. And there continue to be articles, you know, taking one side or the other, and they make really good arguments, and I'm nodding my head going, yeah, I'm talking about articles on both sides of the fence. Yeah, I can see where, you know, the players ought to look at this a little differently. And then I see stuff against the owners, and I say, you know, the owners, what the heck? Why can't they pay a little bit more? All of it is reasonable, right? But it's not getting anybody anywhere. Get in a room and compromise. It's simple. Nobody wants to hear any more about 10 days and the talks and blaming the other side. I'm just done. I'm at wit's end.
If it's 10 days, they're not playing a season.
You got to find. We need to play Rich Eisen. It's great. So 10 days. 10 days? Yeah. Come on.
We'll have to look for that.
Yeah, 10 days. I don't know about that.
Speaking of MLB, we will catch up with Major League Baseball player Tony Kemp, Nashvillian, and have some good discussion with him. On the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick and Chase, Wednesday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. In just a moment, we'll get Tony Kemp on. He's with the Oakland A's. Of course, Nashvillian, former Vanderbilt great. And we always look forward to our conversations with him. And we're going to go down several paths with Tony Kemp in just a moment here on the show. Adam Rittenberg coming up at 11 o'clock. At noon, we'll have Jeremy Fowler. And then at 1 o'clock, Chris Mason. And you're also going to hear from our incredible interview with Bob Costas yesterday on the program, in case you missed that. It is must listen to. It was a fantastic interview, and it goes in a long line of interviews we've had during these quarantine times where, I mean, we will always look back and remember some of these interviews, and that's going to be one of the memorable ones, the Bob Costas interview yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. He was fantastic, and really glad that we were able to get him on because that's something that we've been working on for a while, but it was cool, and one of those in my career I'm going to remember.
No doubt about it. Let's say hello and good morning to one of our favorites. Tony Kemp is on the line. Tony, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Thanks for getting up and early with us. I know you baseball players typically don't get up in the a.m.
Hey, man, the past couple weeks, I haven't been sleeping too much, man. I've been busy.
I know you have, and we're going to get to that. In all seriousness, before we get to that, how crazy has it been? You've been used to a routine, you know, professional athletes are creatures of habit, and this shutdown for you guys, how weird has it been to go through these quarantine times 3+ months now?
Yeah, it's definitely a big change, and obviously itching to get back on the diamond. But if I'm being candid with you, man, I've honestly been enjoying this time with my wife and my dog, and I have never been able to enjoy a summer like this at home. I've been talking to my wife. I'm like, man, I haven't had a summer off since I was 7 years old.
Oh my gosh.
So it's definitely weird, but honestly, I just think that God was like, hey, we need to slow things down as a society and just worry about ourselves. And yeah, so it's I'm trying to look on the positives of the coronavirus.
Amen to that. I think we all can take a little lesson from. We've seen now the slowed down version, and you know what? It's not so bad. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't want to use it in past tense because, by the way, we're still in it. But it's not been that bad, you know. And so we can sit back and now realize we don't have to maybe, you know, a different perspective is not a bad perspective moving forward. This is the way I look at it. So goodbye, you.
I agree.
You've also decided during these difficult times in our society and in our country to use your platform, Tony, and speak out and talk about what a lot of people are feeling right now. Why did you choose to do that? You could have easily, as a professional athlete, sit back and just observe, but instead you decided to roll up your sleeves and get involved.
Yeah, I did an interview yesterday, and I don't want to be repetitive, but, you know, it's just how I feel. You know, there's a couple days there after the Floyd murder where I was just depressed. I think it was 2 straight days. I didn't get out of bed till about 2 or 3 p.m. And just processing everything that was going on, especially, you know, being a black man in America and, you know, what was going on. It was definitely something that I needed to process. And, you know, after I kind of picked myself up, that's where I tweeted out, you know, I was just sitting in the kitchen at the island, and, you know, I didn't know what kind of responses I would get. I didn't know what it would come of it. I didn't know if it was going to blow up how it blew up. But I just said, hey, if anybody wants to talk or be informed, you know, I'm here for it, because I know how I felt, and I know how depressed I was. And if somebody was going through that same thing, then I wanted wanted to talk to somebody and say, hey, like, here, how are you going to move forward from this, or how can we learn from this? So, I mean, man, it was very informative to other people. I was able to educate a lot of people. I was able to talk about experiences with other people, and I'm happy I did it.
Was it easy or hard to talk about experiences?
Yeah, it's definitely draining, man. You know, I actually took a break from responding to people yesterday. I was talking to my wife, and she's like, we're sitting on the deck, and she's like, I think you need to take a day break of responding to people. And I said, you know what, I think you're right. I was in the shower the other day, and I just hunched over, like, hands on my knees, just, like, emotionally drained. You know, a lot of energy goes into doing things like this, but the past 2 days have been better for me, man. I'm back. Energy's back where it needs to be. But that's, you know, I'm willing to make that sacrifice for people. I'm willing to put myself out there in order to have somebody else better themselves and to have a perspective of how my life is and what I feel like.
What do you want the message to be, Tony?
Well, pretty much, I just want the message to be that, you know, we can all be this change in this world. And I don't want to jump ahead because I know you're probably going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk about the whole plus one effect. But that's what I want it to be. I want it to be, if you could take one person and you could change their perspective in a positive way of thinking and educate them in a way that they have never seen the world before, and they take that and they use it and they believe in it, and then they take that to the next person and they change that next person's mind. And, you know, that's how you slowly see change in the world. And, you know, I have a group text with about 10 or 11 of my uncles, cousins, my brothers in there, nephews, and, you know, they're all black men around America. And we kind of started talking about ideas. We had a Zoom call for about 4 hours, I want to say, a couple weeks ago, just bouncing ideas off each other of how we can keep momentum going, what we can do to, you know, change this world. And my uncle is an engineer in St. Louis, a very intelligent guy. And, you know, he said, man, you know, it's kind of like a plus one effect. And right when he said that, I was like, I kind of like that. And so as we got to talking about ideas, I like didn't sleep that night. I think I went to sleep at maybe like 5 a.m. And I was just brainstorming ideas. I was on the computer. I was doing a bunch of different things. And, you know, next morning I went to my agency and I said, hey, I think we should do a T-shirt and have a movement of, you know, the plus one effect. Here's what it is. Let's do this and let's campaign for it. And, man, it's been a success so far.
We know because we've certainly talked about it on this show for many, many years. You know, the dwindling numbers of African-Americans playing the sport of baseball and trying to get them back involved in baseball. So you've been playing a sport where predominantly it was more probably white players were your teammates. So did you have experience? How was your experiences, you know, at the high school level at Vanderbilt, going through up through the minors and now you're in the bigs? How has baseball been? I'm very intrigued by the plus one, but let's go on the baseball side of things.
Yeah.
How's that journey been for you when it comes to what we're talking about?
Yeah, so growing up, obviously, I was the only black kid on every team, and honestly, it was a treat in my opinion. I mean, I felt special on most teams that I was the only one. But with being the only black player, there was a little sense of urgency to be the best player because you are the only one, and you want to fit in, and you can't be the only black player and then you like suck. I felt like I was like, okay, if you're going to be the only guy on this team that looks like this, you better be better than everybody else. So for me, it always provided the fuel that I needed to just go out there and just give my best effort every day. And that's why I play the game. That's why I play the way I do, is just I want to play hard all the time because, you know, not only am I a baseball player, not only am I undersized, but I'm black as well. So there's a lot of things that go into it.
Talking to Tony Kemp, and I just tweeted it out, and we're going to have it retweeted by the game here, the info on the plus one effect. I think that's a great perspective, Tony. Tony, as you were talking, I recall a great experience that I feel like it was a gift to me to go through. As you were talking about your baseball experience, I, at one time when I was 15, I was the only white player on an all-black basketball team, and we were awesome. We won the state tournament, but it was a fantastic experience. I don't think I realized it at the time, you know, how important that could be for me, you know, that perspective, but it's probably not a perspective that a lot of people had, and I think I benefited that from that a lot. But I think that kind of opens the door. It kind of helps with this plus one effect that you're talking about, because maybe you and I might have an easier time because of our experiences to have these conversations, right, and be able to look at things for experiences that other people may not have had.
Right. Now, can I ask you about that experience of being the only white guy on the all-black team? Can I ask you? I've been asking about everybody's experience, and I know probably you didn't expect this, but, like, now that you brought it up, I have to know what that was like.
Well, it was an all-star team, basically, from from the Orlando area, Orlando, Florida. And so it wasn't with teammates of mine. It was all of us thrown together. So it was even more of a we all had to get to know each other. There might have been one or two guys who played on the same school team. But we played pretty much all summer together. And, you know, you realize it, but I thought it was great how many of us by the end of the summer really got to know each other for a long time. There were some excellent players on that team, but it was so valuable to me. I had played with, I think, one before in some AAU tournaments when I was younger, but I always look back on that saying, man, I am so glad that happened. I felt like that was so valuable to me, not only because, you know, we were really good and we were winning, but you know, the valuable relationships that you go through.
Yeah, I think also what's great about that is, you know, I think people understand teams, but like when you're on the team, man, it doesn't matter. You just want the best players out there. And yeah, I think that's an awesome experience that you went through. And I think that it's probably shaped you into the man that you are today.
Well, it's, you know what else too, something you said rang true for me is you feel like, you know, you got to bring it. You know, you have to be good, or you don't want to be the guy that's dragging, right?
Yeah, for sure. You can't be the only guy of a different skin color and be dragging your feet. That doesn't work like that.
So we tweeted it out, Tony. But is there a website if people want to? Because I think the mindset is so important right now. And right now there's no games, right? So we're really delving into this mindset. That's another benefit of having the world stopped to a degree here. So I think this T-shirt can keep you in that mindset. So how do you get the T-shirt? It's a great way to start.
Yeah, I'm gonna shoot it to Darren. But right now the URL is http://breakingtea.com/plus1. And plus one at the end is spelled out PLUS and the number one.
Got it. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. Yeah.
So Tony, yeah. So we're going to get this going. Sure.
I appreciate that.
So meanwhile, you've got, you know, you're waiting to hear, I guess the saying of the players, you know, tell us when and where. And you know, you're one of many in your union. It's a very tight group of players. Are you hopeful? I guess is all I can say. I know there's not everything you can say about it, but are you hopeful that you'll get some good news here at some point soon so we can get this thing going?
Man, I sure hope so. I mean, the unfortunate thing was leaving spring training and when coronavirus hit, and once obviously the players agreed to have a prorated salary and the owners were deciding to cut that salary as well, man, we just, you know, we have a group chat with all the Oakland A's players and everybody was devastated, man. It's like, here we go again. And you want to say that it's not about money and you want to say it's not about these big owners, but man, at the end of the day it is. And that's the sad part is that's just the sad thing, man. I wish it didn't come down to things like this, but I'm hopeful. I mean, maybe it's looking like 50 or so games and, you know, we're going to chop it up to that for the 2020 season, but it's not looking too likely right now, but I'll have to keep you posted on that. But I'm still keeping my fingers crossed.
We're talking to Tony Kemp, of course, a former Vandy player and now at the Oakland A's, here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. And as we have established, Tony, you're a very honest person, and your responses are very well thought out. So we appreciate you for that. When you hear, though, fans' response to everything going on, that, you know, maybe they're mad at you guys as the players, they're mad at the owners, they're upset that there isn't a resolution, what is your response to the fans as they're trying to understand everything that you all are going through with this negotiation?
Well, it's always tough because, you know, once you get to this professional level, you make a good amount of money, correct? So, the biggest outcry here is, well, you make so and so amount of money, and you just need to play because, you know, the money is, you're already making enough money, so you should just go and play. But it's like, no. Like, let's get back to the fact that if you started a job and you signed a contract for that job, and then all of a sudden you get through that job and they say, we're going to cut this because a national pandemic hit, I don't think you would be too happy either. So that's kind of in the situation I try to tell fans of, like, hey, this is how we feel. It doesn't matter the amount of money you make. It's a matter of the principle of the contract that you sign. And now we're getting, that's getting slashed because of a national pandemic, which we don't think is fair.
Right. And I think that that's the hard part for people to understand, just with everything that's going on top of trying to find that escape, and baseball is the escape for a lot of people. It's just hard for them to understand. The thing that really stands out to me is just the distrust that's there between the owners and players. How do you guys mm-hmm. think that you can work through getting that back? Because ultimately, for the future, I think that that's something that's going to be very important.
Yeah, man. And the scary thing is, man, our CBA is up in this next following year. So, our biggest stance, if I'm being just completely clear with you guys, is if we don't stand up for ourselves right now, the owners will they're just going to walk all over us once this CBA's up. So if you don't have a backbone now, then when the new CBA comes, like, we're just going to get walked all over. So that's why the players are in the situation that we are in now, because it's just a sticky situation and it's a tough spot. So, we're just going to have to stand strong, man.
So you said 50 games, that's kind of what you're thinking. So is there's hope for you? You feel like that this is definitely going to happen? There's going to be somewhat of a season?
Hey, man, it's just like the bottom of the ninth, two outs. You know, there's always hope for a win, man. I'm always optimistic. I'm always on the positive side of things. So I'm always hopeful until the fat lady sings. So we'll just have to wait it out and see.
Have you been watching any of the documentaries? Let's end on a light note. Did you watch The Last Dance?
Yeah. Dude, I watched The Last Dance. Me and my wife religiously were on that. I think one night I was downstairs in the man cave playing darts, and my wife comes down, and I didn't completely slip my mind, and she goes, what are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, The Last Dance on is in 10 minutes. And I go, what? and so, like, she was actually the one that was telling me that we need to get out there and watch it, and so it was it was a great documentary, very well done. It's awesome to get some insight from Michael and then his teammates and what it was like in the 90s. And, oh, man, what a inspirational documentary.
Gosh, after that story, maybe we need to get your wife on as a guest next time on the show. She's telling
Niece,
you about The Last Dance.
Niece, they want to know if you, want to get an interview next time. She said sure. She's hanging up the hammock right now.
Did you watch Long Gone Summer on Sunday?
You know what? I didn't, man. We went to Hilton Head to visit her grandmother. She's trying to sell her house out in Hilton Head, so I didn't get a chance to get around to it. We were traveling.
Not a bad place to be, for sure.
In
all seriousness, I've seen a lot of comments. What was cool to me is, like you said, you weren't sure what the responses you would get, and so many people, obviously on Twitter, you don't know where they are, where they're coming from. Clearly, outside of this market, just saying, "Man, Tony, you're so cool, and that's so awesome, and wow, And, you know, and then to see all the Nash people from Middle Tennessee go, yeah, that's Tony Kemp, man. You just clearly you don't know him. Like, that doesn't – this none of this surprises us. Come on. Come on.
All right. No, it's – man, it's been awesome. It honestly, truly is a blessing to you know, I don't see myself – I never have seen myself as much of an activist or much of a, you know, guy – you know, I try to just usually keep to myself, tell it how it is, keep it honest, and – I just like to shoot it straight, and yeah, man, it's been very nice to see all the support and all the fans, and you know, that's why I tell people when I'm out and about, and I'll get a tweet 10 minutes after I leave a store and say, "Hey, I saw you in the store." It's like, hey, you can, like, I am a human being. You can say hello to me. Like, it's not a bit. So I just try to open. I just try to open it up to, you know, being genuine, and hey, I walk this earth just how you guys do, and. Yeah, it's been great, and you know, obviously, I appreciate you guys for having me on always and supporting the campaign. It honestly does always mean a lot.
Well, keep up the good work. You and the wife continue to be safe. We'll get your message out on our platforms, the game, and our personal accounts. And it's always good. Yep, it's always good to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Anchor
all right, thanks,
down.
Tony. Tony Kemp. Yeah, we should have asked him about
anchor down.
We forgot about.
Would I be the most likely guy to throw an anchor down? To
I was say, how about Chase sneaking that in at the end?
We're bringing Chase on board to the Vandy boys.
I should have asked.
I've always been.
Well,
on
he's a Vanderbilt fan. He's a Vanderbilt fan. His dad's a huge Vanderbilt fan. We should have asked him about Corbs as a on MLB Network first round. We should have asked him what he thought about Tim on MLB Network. His coverage. Yeah.
That would have been good.
Good stuff from
but
Tony.
You know what? Honestly, I'm ordering the T-shirts right now. It's such a great idea. Like, I challenge anybody to tell me that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, just the plus one effect. It's contagious, right? I mean, we've talked a lot about things that are contagious.
In these times,
right?
If you don't
so
get that.
That should ring. Right. Should resonate in your mind what that would be. But just, you know, rub off on somebody. You know, take your experiences, have a conversation with somebody, open up your mind a little bit. And nothing but good can come from that.
Yeah, if
that's what happens. Mike Gundy, right? Is that hopefully where that goes? It's the same thing we talked about it yesterday. They had a good discussion, and hopefully that leads to good things. Hopefully,
there's no doubt about it. Well, if you don't get that reference in these times, then I guess they're not going to get to you. If you don't get that during a pandemic, it is contagious, and, you know, hopefully it catches on, plus one. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Cool contest. It's called Dad Rocks the Gold. You can enter a chance to win. Get Dad a $75 gift card to the Predators team store. All you have to do is submit a photo of your dad rocking the gold on Twitter. Tag us at 102.5 The Game. Use the hashtag DadRocksTheGold. Also, you can submit a photo on our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Get your submission in today as the contest closes on Friday afternoon. Why? Because don't forget, Sunday is Father's Day. So that would be a really cool gift for your dad. Another cool gift for your dad would be able to take him to a baseball game, and that's not the case right now. Hopefully,
you could take him to a baseball game.
True.
There'll be some baseball in Indiana that I'll be watching my son participate in.
Yeah, there are youth tournaments. Yep.
They are trying to keep the numbers low, though. They're not going for a sellout crowd. They don't want huge crowds. They would like to spread the people out, I guess. But
whereabouts in Indiana?
Indianapolis. Outside. Oh. It's Carmel, Indiana.
Yep. Been there.
It's probably I think I've been 20 minutes from downtown, 20, 30 minutes from downtown Indianapolis. It's a beautiful complex, very close to the campus of Butler. I think we had this conversation last week. I got a chance to see for the first time the field house there where they filmed Hoosiers.
Yep.
It is a great place to check it out. I mean, it's worth driving over there just to peek in there for 10 minutes. They actually have tours that you can take, but they know there are a lot of people like me that will just pass through town and just want to see it.
So let me ask you this. So now that Mahoney's 14, and it sounds like everything you've been talking about has been out of state, is that because there's not enough tournaments here or good enough tournaments here? Or why are they – or is this how 14U works? Why so much out of state?
To be honest,
Georgia, you've been to Indiana. How come I really haven't heard you talk about anything around here?
Well, there were some scheduled tournaments in May that were here that got canceled. So it just happens to fall on the calendar when everything was scheduled. The schedule has been out since, I don't know, January or something like that. You plan ahead for what you're going to do so people can set their schedules and things like that. So nothing has changed. I do think that in Davidson County, there are restrictions still on tournament play. So people have had to get creative on where to practice and where to hold tournaments. But I believe there have been some tournaments in our area, but I don't believe that Davidson County has been cleared to hold tournaments. For example, Shelby Park, right down the street from where I live. Believe me, I would love to have some tournaments over there. That's always fun for us. You just hop out of bed and you go over to the park 5 minutes away rather than drive, you know, 3 hours and stay in a hotel. But we don't have the green light for that as of yet. Got to get to phase three for that to happen.
I forgot to tell you that the Knights were in the tournament we were in this past weekend. We didn't see them, but I mean they were in it.
Yep.
Because they've
They go down. They go down to the 8U now. They didn't. They started with the older kids, and now they've worked their way down little by little to have teams at the younger ages.
Because Mahoney started with him when he was 11.
That was his first year with the Knights. Yeah, he played with a group called the Outlaws for a couple years, and you'll see them around town as well. That's also a good group.
Well, there was an I-40 Outlaws that was in the tournament. That's not the same group, I don't think.
I don't know.
It's been a while since you've had to deal with 8U.
and there's probably more than one Outlaws you know, in the whole stratosphere.
We played two teams. Mavericks teams this past weekend.
Yeah, the Mavericks are another good one.
Mavericks.
Yeah. Yep. They've got a tradition.
You got to watch out for
the Mavericks.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Pretty good, yeah.
Let's go to Nate. Nate is on hold. Wants to weigh in on the show. What's up?
Hey guys, that was a great interview with Tony Kemp.
Thanks.
But what I don't understand is how the players are still so naive to I'm going to call it civilian life because it is different. What they get paid and what their contracts state are different than what civilians get. From what I have experienced is if you don't work and you don't have any paid time off, PTO, you don't get paid for that day. So I'm not really understanding why they are getting paid more money than most of the Americans, you know, whether you are working or whether you're not right now. And what I'm not understanding is how they are wanting to be paid for basically not playing.
Well, they're not being paid right now.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but what do the guaranteed contracts entail? Is it you have to play in order to get paid? Because that's how the NFL is set up. If you don't play a game, you're not getting paid.
Well, that's what I use the term agreement almost facetiously because that's where it all stems from, is that thing that, whatever you want to call it, that they walked out of the meeting with thinking they had an agreement on March 26th. That's where it's all gone awry. The basic plan was you'll get the service time for the season, and that's a benefit for the players. You're not going to get paid. And the players were like, fine, we're not playing games, so you don't have to pay us for the games, but prorate our salaries for when we do play. In other words, once we do play, just pay us the prorated salary for that. It made sense. But the owners had a provision in there that said, we need to come back to the table to discuss if we don't have any fans. And as we know, as it evolved from March 26th through the summer, it became very clear that there weren't going to be fans anytime soon. So the owners thought, well, that we need to go back and have a discussion here. We need to rework the figures here. And the players did not see it that way. They don't see it that way today. They still feel like, hey, we are taking a pay cut, right? We're not getting paid while we're not playing. So in some ways, they're furloughed, so to speak. So that is one way of looking at it. I just wish, you know, you heard Tony. He gave the line that all of the players in the union have said is they are drawing the line in the sand of we are making sacrifices. You are prorating our salaries. You shouldn't cut any salaries further, especially because in their mind, they had the word of the owners that they were doing. And so there are a lot of people saying, well, why the owners can't, with the billions of dollars that those franchises are worth, all the tax benefits they get, all of that stuff, why can't they come around and pay more of the losses rather than put more of the losses on the players? Let's take Tony Kemp, for example, okay? He worked very hard to get to the major leagues, right? He's not guaranteed to play in the majors. He made it an opening day roster for the first time, right? So, yes, does he make a lot of money compared to most of us? Yes, no question. But when you start looking at, you know, the taxes and, you know, the living situation and stuff, it's not as much. We have in our mind sometimes that everybody makes closer to what Mike Trout makes, or maybe that's not a good example, but, you know, $7, $8, $9, $10 million a year, which is what a lot of the players do make. But there's a huge cross-section of players that are not guaranteed to play next year or the year after that aren't making that much money, that it does make a difference for them. So I'm trying to see their side of it more. I just would like to see, as Bob Costas said so eloquently yesterday, if they could just get into a mindset that this, we just need to get through this year, right? And everything that we do this year does not affect the collective bargaining agreement at the end of next year. Let's cross that bridge when we come to it. I think we could have gotten through this a lot easier, you know? But they are really fixated. You could hear it in Tony's voice. They don't trust each other, and they feel like everything they're doing now is setting the table for what's going to happen at the end of next year.
That they were setting the scene for the future.
Right, and that's unfortunate. That is really made it tough to come up with any kind of solution here.
But
that doesn't give
me
much confidence that they're going to figure it out.
But that's the thing, and that's why I asked Tony the question. There's so much distrust between both sides, and that's been there. We know that's been there, and that you can trace that way on back with that distrust, and that's the problem. That's why they knew going into this, like, well, they're going to try and screw us over, so we gotta fight back and be ready, you know, for this and also for what's coming up with the CBA. And it's how do you break that cycle? How do you get everybody on a similar page, maybe not the same page, but to a point where, you know, and we've discussed this with the other leagues, it hasn't been easy. The players in the NHL and the owners, I mean, it hasn't been easy by any means, but they figured it out and they came to a compromise. Same with the NBA. It's how do you get them to that point where they can at least sit down in a room or on a Zoom or whatever and go, all right, we're not going to agree on everything, but let's come up with something that we have a plan, we can present to our fans, to our sponsors, to our partners, and then get back on the field as soon as possible. But there's so much damage that has been done in the past that they keep carrying with them that they just can't work through it and get over it.
Well, the thing that confuses me is I've said this repeatedly with players holding out, and I don't understand why they don't figure this out. I'll just ask you this simple question. What is greater, something or nothing? You don't get to make it up. I mean, these players that hold out, you know, that's what I said about Le'Veon Bell. Did he win? No, he didn't win. He lost a whole lot of money, a truckload of money that year he sat out. You know what? Melvin Gordon didn't get that money back. He missed, what, half the season. I mean, something or nothing. What is greater? Yes, the answer is something. I mean, everybody knows that. So if you sit out this year and you don't play, you don't get to make that up. I mean, it's gone. Like that salary is gone. So we already know the shelf life is so incredibly short in this business. When it comes to being a professional athlete, you've only got a certain amount of time to make your money. Then you get out in the real world and you realize, wow, whew, yeah, I don't see those checks anymore, do I? I don't understand how you're willing to walk away and just sit there and say, the owners don't care. That's why I've been trying to preach. The owners literally don't care because they're going to continue to make money because they have other things. This is not their only thing. Your players, this is your income. Nothing. You don't get to make that up. So if you don't have a season, 2020 is zero income. Your balance sheet, zero. How is that good for anybody? Owners still, well, they're still racking up money. They own other things. They got incomes coming in from all over the place. Whether they have a season or not, it's not good. Will it hurt them? I mean, yeah, they won't like it, but it's not like they don't, you know, they can't make it up because they have other business interests. Players don't. I mean, how would you be,
well, that,
how could you be willing to walk away from this and get nothing?
But that's why I think the frustration comes from the player side is, because the business of baseball has grossed so much money, over $10 billion, and the franchise values, for example, the Marlins, right? The Marlins, they've been a debacle for a long time, right? They have a brand new park. They don't draw anybody. They haven't won. They have gone way low on payroll in the name of trying to develop and all that stuff. We don't know if it's going to work or not. The bottom line has been bad for a while. But they recently, you know, when Derek Jeter and that crew took over ownership, they paid like $1 billion. Like, so the previous owners made a ton of money. Like, so the value of the franchise, even the Marlins, has been a huge number, right? So the investment in buying a team has been a really good investment. Not to mention all the tax breaks and everything that you get. So the players, I can see why they don't have a lot of sympathy. Like, why should each player take a loss when the owners, part of owning a team is, you know, the rise and fall and the value of the team. And they've gone through this golden era, right, where the franchises are worth more than they've ever been worth. You know, the Yankees are worth how many billion dollars, right? So if it drops a little bit and you take losses in the short term, that should be part of it. So that's why I think, as Bob Costas said, if they had a little bit more of that mindset, yeah, everybody's sacrificing right now. Let's just get through this year, and then we'll figure out the big stuff as we get back into the flow with fans and everything down the road. But that's what's so frustrating about this. It's, oh, well, it doesn't look like it.
Let's go to Kathy before we get out of this hour. What's up?
I can see both sides, but let's take a look. Let's take a look at the owners. They're having, first of all, the Astros, for one, they're paying their employees while they're on this furlough. So that money's coming out of there. They're going to have to refund season ticket holders. So that money's going out the window. What bothers me about one thing that Tony Kemp said, Tony Kemp's a great guy. He's great. I loved him when he was with the Astros. He's a great guy. But when you make a statement that says, we have a contract that says we are guaranteed this much money, and then you tell us we have to lose some of that because of a pandemic, there are people out of work because of this pandemic. The company I work for, our employees out there are being asked to take a 30% cut in pay in their hours because of a pandemic. Our managers are taking a 30% cut in pay because of a pandemic. Our CEOs and board directors have declined their paychecks since the beginning of this time because of a pandemic. Yeah, Tony Kemp, you're being asked to take a pay cut because of this pandemic. You're not special. You're not different than anybody else that has been asked to sacrifice during this period of time. People that make a heck of a lot less money than he does.
Yep.
That's
Thank you,
my
Kathy.
Issue with yeah. what he said.
Look, there's a yeah, lot of people. Well, obviously, there's a lot of people that feel just like
sure.
that. That's why we've been talking about it, right?
But I mean, remember,
it's natural.
They are taking a pay cut, right? They're not getting paid right now. So this all of the time that's gone by – they have not been paid.
But they haven't been working either, so that goes without saying.
Right, but that's just like getting laid off of work, right? They had a job. They're not able to do their job. It's not their fault. So they are taking a pay cut, right? That's not the issue. They're not getting paid their entire salary while this is going on. They're not getting paid right now. So just to clarify that. But I agree. I see Kathy's perspective because it doesn't come across very empathetic to the people that they don't know when they're coming back, right? They don't have the option of coming back anytime soon. They're waiting, hoping for an option to come back, right?
Yeah.
The players and the owners right now, they have the option, just like all the other sports, of a pathway to come back here. but they can't agree on what that is supposed to be. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating.
We'll come back hour number two. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. We'll talk a little college football with him on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game.